I've talked about this the last couple of times that both Bananas and Stealth has met, but in John 14, Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And it seems appropriate that in a time in which confusion is possible, that your eyes individually should be set on why you were born. Either Christ is a madman, or he's true. I mean, with him there can be no... He can't be, if you casually look at the scriptures, he can't be a teacher, a good teacher, or a nice guy. He was the meanest son of a bitch that ever came on the earth. "I came not to send peace, but a sword. No man can follow me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his wife, etc., etc., etc. Yea, and his own wife also. No man that is fit for the kingdom, having once put his hand on the plow, can turn his back or to look, even look behind." Someone wanted to follow him, and he said, "But I have to go bury my father." And he said, "Let the dead bury the dead, you follow me." He claimed to have all authority. He claimed that he had an inside view of heaven. He claimed that everything that was ever made was made to serve his purpose. The scriptures declare that through him and by him were all things created that we can see. And yet he said the most unbelievable thing in the Bible is, "If you believe on him, greater works than these shall you do." Now, what could be greater than creation? He's not talking about raising somebody from the dead. That's included. He's not talking about pulling a fish out of the water and it having gold in it to pay the taxes. That's included. He's not talking about feeding 5,000 with a couple of loaves and fishes, but that's included. He's talking about the greater work that you shall do than the whole of creation. Now, you can either believe I'm a madman now, the first requirement to believe is to know it's finished. First in you, then in others. And when a body is formed because of that belief that it's finished, and you no longer give credence to this instead of Christ that you've given credence to all your life, then a body can declare with the tongue it's finished. And as you hear about this condition called a new heaven and a new earth, where there's no tears, when there is no more tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when there is only the tree of life, when there is no more need for the sun or the moon because the Lamb of God is the light thereof, when you can see and know that place in which there is perfect peace, perfect harmony, when you can hear it with your ear, then see it, then your tongue will call it forth. That's the greater work. When you can declare that it's now finished in your life, that means you have picked up the cross. When you can declare that it's now finished in time and space, then by your word, the Holy Spirit, you in agreement with the Father, the Holy Spirit has to bring forth the new heaven and the new earth. And that's the greater work. No matter how wild this seems, no matter how unbelievable, just as Noah in his day condemned the world through his obedience, So you will condemn the world. You will bring time to an end through your obedience. Now you've got to be faced with this as the alternatives, with a million and a million and a million alternatives. All of the things that each of you are doing in life, all of the inner relationships that you have with and among people, and all your relationships here, are only the chastisement of the Father. To perfect, to bring to perfection, which means by testing, that which is already perfect, that which is already complete within you. But in order to do so, you must confess and speak the same thing that God does with every movement of your tongue. There's only one thing that could be confessed that universally every man and woman on the face of the earth could confess, no matter what their intelligence was, no matter how stupid they were, no matter whether they could even see or hear, they could still confess it by the revelation of God, it's finished. That's the only thing that's possible with your mind or with your tongue to confess that's universally applicable to every member on the face of the earth that has ever lived. Think about it. Nothing else that you could speak with your mouth could be universally applicable, except it's finished. Your process of life is the movement of your mind to be renewed in every brain cell to the knowledge that it's certainly finished in your life. Everything else is a lie from the depth of hell. And it makes the cross of Christ of none effect. You have been called for a purpose. You are not born by accident. You're not here by accident. You're called for a singular purpose. And that's to do the greater work. And God help any of you that consider it lightly, for you've too much. The scripture declares it would have been better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were dumped in the middle of the Red Sea, Dead Sea. Throughout the scriptures, you will be always tested with your propensity to prefer the flesh and go after the flesh and to be pleasing to men. If you yet pleased men, you should not be the servant of God. Now some of you will be tested sorely in this, especially those of you that have been going to Pam and Larry's Bible study. You will be tempted to minister to that flesh. I don't care what you do. I don't care whether or not you talk to them or don't talk to them. But I declare unto you that if you go and minister to their flesh, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the Dead Sea. Because the last thing they need at this juncture is you ministering and massaging their flesh. They need to know the fear of God, and that can only happen in their aloneness. Present yourself a living sacrifice, and be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The evidence of the renewing of your mind is your tongue. What do you speak? What do you create alliances with? By the use of your tongue. I'm going to read a parable of Christ's. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day.
There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Gehenna he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place tormented. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him, or let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One is risen from the dead. And his place of residence is within you. But your tongue is denying that. Your tongue is an alliance. In an alliance. Which demands ever more an increasing, continual torment. Sounds weird, doesn't it? To think that your mind desires torment. There's one thing your mind cannot stand, and it will do everything and anything to avoid it. It cannot stand peace of mind. Your mind cannot stand the absence of againstness. And so you create scenarios with your tongue in order to keep that mind in torment. Because that's the only evidence that you're alive.
Amen.
God's great joke on humanity. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. Stop and analyze your life. If you had peace for more than 3 seconds, you ran from it in order to get your heart's desire, which was torment. You'd sell out your soul for the evidence of that torment. Most of you have, over and over and over. The evidence you do it is your tongue. Please, Father Abraham, just let a drop of water hit my tongue to cool the fire. Nah. You don't want the tongue cooled. Feast of Pentecost is about your tongue. Creation, God moved by His Spirit over the face of the waters and created life. On the Feast of Pentecost. And the Tower of Babel was destroyed on the Feast of Pentecost, creating the confusion of tongues so that you can never again communicate with anyone. David was killed on the Feast of Pentecost. Elijah received the double mantle of the Lord's blessing on the Feast of Pentecost to typify the greater work that you should do. And then finally, the seed of Christ was shed on your flesh on the Feast of Pentecost so that you became the sperma of God on the Feast of Pentecost. Now that life which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, is resident within every one of you. Because of the Feast of Pentecost. But you have to experience it doesn't do any good for it to have happened in history. That's another idol that you can create. It's finished. Feast of Pentecost in the Hebrew is called Ha'azareth. It means the feast of cessation. It means that everything that man can do is no longer possible or necessary. It means the end of your strife. The end of your need for torment in order to have identity. But God has a secret, and He says your tongue has to speak the same thing, rather than speaking the mind of the Gentile. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Oh, I want this. Oh, if I get that, then I'll be happy. The lies upon lies upon lies. So the Feast of Pentecost for you, this feast in 2 weeks, is for you to be able to confess with your mouth that it's finished. That dip of water will hit your tongue to cool the need for torment, to have identity. It's finished. Your heart's desires are satisfied. Open your eyes and look. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's finished. Now the City of Light. We can see.
What page?
37.
Stone can't stand when the earth breaks. Metal on metal brings nothing but tears. The shambone can't live when the living takes all my strength. Leaves only fears crying for time. Not stop until the promised land's in sight. Wherever it is, the city of light. Put down roots to begin again. Felt like the walls were closing in. They were paying me five, but I wanted ten. It was time to move on. Thousands like me were flooding the road, looking for a place to rest their load. The jobs were taken, the fields were hoed, promises broken and gone. Stone on stone can't stand when the earth breaks. Metal on metal brings nothing but tears. Flesh and bone can't live when the living takes all my strength. These only fears cry in the night. Not stop until the promised land's in sight. Where it is, the city of lies. Can break these bands. Right from the city, not made with hands. When the light from the city finds me alone, it can open my heart and can carry me home to the city.
Boy spoke, I didn't have to ask. Time of wandering was over at last. But it looked no different than places we passed all along the way. Boy said, you've taken years to learn. Suddenly your feet at every turn. Now
stand up and look around you. The promised land has found you. Living stones don't fall when the earthquakes. Dressed in gold, there's nothing but shine. When your souls pour out and the spirit takes all your tears, you can leave them behind. You cry in the night. You're not stopping until the promised land's in sight. Great it is, that city of light. Great it is, the city of light. City not made with hands. Light from the city finds me alone. It opened my heart, carry me home to the city not made with hands.
City,
hallelujah.
Not made with hands.
Praise you. Amen. Can everybody take the bread and the wine?
Yes.
The Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. However, in the Greek translation, it says, give us this day tomorrow's bread, so that we don't have to think about tomorrow. Give us a sustenance for tomorrow, that we don't have any more propensity to move out of the state of the abandonment of self into His precious grace. All of you have been the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, standing in the garden. You've been freely consuming on that fruit, judging for yourself good and evil. Now let the tree be chopped down by the act of the bread and the wine. There's only now the tree of life, putting forth fruit for the nations. His life. Not your opinions about it. Him. The afkamen, the bread and the wine, the host, the communion, the fellowship, all of the koinonia, the emptying of self. That's what the words mean. They all say the same. You can't eat this bread until you're fed up with everything else. Amen?
Amen.
The same night in which he was betrayed. He took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the bread of life from you as the earthen vessel, that you might feed those in your world with the same bread that you've been nourished by.
You'll no more be afraid of the faces of men. Your tongue now, with the sustenance of tomorrow's bread, can begin to confess the same thing that he is. It's finished. You can do the greater work, which is to call forth the new heaven and a new earth. See it, and as you see it, it'll be called for. He said, take, eat. This is my body. This is all the sustenance you need. This is the heavenly bread. But he said, don't eat it unworthily.
You know, it's really neat that the bread of life, at least in the sense, in our senses, is this plain, you know, relatively tasteless stuff. It's like, to the senses, you're going, oh, I'll live about 5 minutes on this.
I never saw the, you know, I was talking about this tree of life, and then, you know, when you said this time, the first time I saw it as, I am the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not a tree over there that I'm looking at. I am that tree.
Now, let it be chopped. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree by the baptism. That's what John said when he baptized Christ. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Now no more the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of life.
But the tree of life that springs forth.
You are what you mean.
Payback's a fence, John.
But now, you know, I was kiddingly. I said, make sure you don't eat of it unworthily after you already ate it. But he said, for this cause, many of you are sick, many of you are weak, many of you die because you eat of the bread unworthily. To eat it unworthily doesn't have anything to do with your condition. It means to not discern the Lord's body, not to put on his rightness. You're free from your own rightness because it's finished. You begin to live by that and let it be confessed and seen in every arena of your life, and you're free. And then you can be truly, from your belly will flow the rivers of living water.
I used to say that all the time. About having to have your own rightness. I could hear that night after night from you, and I never knew what the hell you were talking about.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing you didn't ask a question like Mandy if you didn't understand something. Okay. I mean, this is the most unlikely group of people. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
This is true.
And he took the cup. Shut up, Judy.
You take the cup and give it.
Just think about make a joyful noise.
You don't have to be right anymore, that's all. Let him be right. You don't have to justify yourself anymore. You're free. And that's what we drink to. Instead of all of your games and manipulations and flattery, and oppression, conning to get your worth. Your worth comes from this little glass of wine, which represents his worth, his blood. No matter what you've done, no matter what condition you're in at this instant, the moment this touches your lips, it's as if that God in heaven had let Abraham touch your lips with the cool water. You no longer have to have torment as your guide. He took the cup and he gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. He did this at Passover when he toasted us, his bride. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. It's gone. Now he lives to life.